Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording now. We're going to continue talking about Surah Al-Buruj. Allah says that He has the throne. That He has the Majid throne. The ever honorable Majid. The non-stop giving, the very honorable Arsh or throne. The non-stopping giving throne. Al-Ghafoor, wa huwa al-Ghafoor al-Wadud, the Arsh al-Majid. Then Allah moves to Fa'alul lima yurid. And let's talk about Fa'alul lima yurid. Fa'alul lima yurid. فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ It means he does what he wants. So he does what he wants. Well, can you do everything you want as a human? Can you do everything you want to do? Can I get you to sit here?
It depends on what you want.
Sorry. Anything you want, like anything you can think about, can you do it? It doesn't make sense, right? Because there are things that you can't do, it doesn't matter what.
Like fly.
Huh? Like fly, like, you know? Like, stop yourself from growing older. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing that He can't do. But here's the catch. Here's the catch. We say, فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ means He can do whatever he wants. Now, but here's the catch here. You know, atheists and people who don't believe in Allah, they use this ayah to trick you. How? They say, okay, you are saying that Allah can do anything he wants, right? You say, yeah. Then he tells you, can Allah create a rock that he himself cannot carry? Can Allah create a rock that he himself can't carry?
No.
Yes.
Well, let's take no and yes. You said no, right? So here's one thing that Allah can't do. Right? Which is create a rock that he can't carry. You got it? Now let's talk about you. You said yes? Then he can't carry the rock. Here is one thing that he can't do.
But like humans, we make stuff that we can't carry either.
No, but we're not comparing Allah to ourselves.
Yeah.
We're talking about Allah saying about himself that he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, so if he can do whatever he wants, then he can make a rock that he can't carry, and then he can carry
it. Here it is.
He can carry it because he wants to carry it.
No, but here it is.
He doesn't have any physical capability.
But how come then he is not able to carry it? He's not able to carry it means that here's one thing that he can't do.
But
there's no such thing
as Allah's not able to carry it.
No, but that's a tricky question, and that's philosophy. And we are going to talk about how philosophy ruined Islam. Not ruined Islam. So was about to ruin Islam in the past. So here is the answer. So what would be the answer? If you say yes, then he can't carry the rock. Carry the rock. If you say no, then he can to do it. So, oh yes, thank you. So, the word can't. Hey girls. What did I box on the board? I boxed the word what?
Can't.
Isn't that opposite to what Allah said? He can do whatever he wants. Now, this is a trick. How do you answer this trick?
You say that Allah would never do such a thing.
Why?
Because he doesn't want to.
Exactly. Why doesn't he want to?
Because he can do whatever he wants.
No, because it is not appropriate for His Majesty. So, Allah, He can do everything, but Allah will do only what is appropriate for Him, for His Majesty. For example, can Allah lie?
It depends.
Oh, what, are you kidding me?
No, like a good reason or bad reason?
Allah will never ever lie. Why? Because it is not appropriate for His Majesty. Okay? The definition of God, that it is someone, among the definition of God, is that someone who doesn't lie. Can Allah steal? No, why not? It is not appropriate for His Majesty. So example, stealing,
lying,
doing injustice, or not being fair. You got it? Do you understand this? Okay. Do you understand this very well? Because I'm going to use that to answer the question. So Allah will not do everything. Allah will do only what is what?
Appropriate
for His Majesty. Lying? No. Cheating? No. Doing injustice or doing something that, or being unfair? No. Why? Because this is not appropriate for His Majesty. Okay? In creating this rock is not appropriate for His Majesty. Creating such a rock is not appropriate for His Majesty. It's important to understand that. Because that's a trick that a lot of people use. Not a lot of people, some few people use. You got it? Stealing, lying, not being fair, creating such a rock is not appropriate for His Majesty. Now, would Allah do something that will bring Him down from the status of being God? No. So, if Allah does something inappropriate for His Majesty.
R-O-P-R-I-A-T-E.
Yes. Appropriate for His Majesty. The funny thing that I spelled it here right. Then I made a mistake the second time. So if Allah does something inappropriate for His Majesty, then he will not qualify to be God anymore. He will not qualify to be God anymore.
Can you write no more?
Huh? No more?
To be God no more.
It says anymore on the board, so...
Yeah. Anymore?
That's my beautiful stupid...
It's so, what's for lunch?
It will be like Allah bringing Himself down from the status of being God. Yes. You got it? Do you understand this? You need to understand this very well. This is why Allah says it's not appropriate for Him to have a son. Why isn't it appropriate for Him to have a son? Because it means that His son shares with Him powers. His son shares with Him what?
Powers.
Now, is it appropriate for Allah to have a partner?
No.
No. Go ahead.
Technically, He would need like a wife in order to have a son, because He can't have his
No,
son.
He can do whatever
he can. He can have a son without a wife. He can have a wife and a son, but it's not appropriate for His Majesty to do so. It's just not appropriate for Him. And this is why He will not do it. Now, is it appropriate for His Majesty to have a super god? To make a super god? No. To make a sub god?
No.
To make a co-god?
No.
Now, the people who worship the idols, they made sub-gods. You know, sub-gods. Who are the sub-gods here? The idols. Because they are the middle guys between Allah and the people. Why is it derogatory to Allah? Low image of Allah to have a partner. I'm sorry, to have a middle god or a sub god. Why?
Because He pays attention to every single one of His subjects.
Exactly. It means that you are saying to Allah, well, we are too many for You.
No.
We are too many for You to take care of us. You don't even know our needs. And we need these middle gods to be between us and You. So they are little enough, they are small enough to listen to us, and they are big enough to talk to You and get Your attention. Is that a good image or a low image of Allah?
It's
low image. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like the people who had made partners with him. Now, another argument in philosophy. People say Allah is everywhere.
Yes.
Is he? Is Allah everywhere? The answer is no. Why? Now, why do you say no? Okay. First of all, there's there was a girl at the time of the Prophet Muhammad. She went to ask Prophet Muhammad a question. She said, where is Allah? Prophet Muhammad said, where? He pointed up and he said, in heaven. So that helped us to resolve the problem when people say, where is Allah, right? If we didn't have this hadith, somebody would argue that Allah is everywhere. You got it? But Allah is not everywhere. Where is Allah?
Up there.
In heavens. Good. Now, what would go wrong if you say Allah is everywhere? It means that he's in the bathroom, he's in the toilet, he is in the dirty places.
The clubs.
You know? That is a problem if you say that. It's not appropriate for His Majesty to be located everywhere. No, because it is not appropriate for His Majesty to be everywhere. Like the toilet, for example. The hadith of the little girl, where is Allah? Allah is in heaven. Now, but here's the catch. If he's not here, if he's not where? Here. Then how can we say that he knows everything? Because his knowledge and control are everywhere. So, Allah, knowledge and control. Will and control is everywhere. Is it? Do you understand that? These are basic principles about Allah, about your God, that you need to understand very well and to keep in your mind so that you don't get confused and you reply to the people, Sa'id, and reply to the people who say otherwise. Okay? Now, what brought all these questions when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, says about himself that he established himself on the throne? Now, a lot of people...
You want to have it done? That wants to go?
I'm going to tell you a story about what happened at the time of the Prophet sallallahu. I'm sorry. What happened at after the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that brought up all these questions. Can you write R everywhere?
Wait, what?
R everywhere. Down there. R everywhere.
It is everywhere.
No, it is everywhere.
Okay, it is everywhere.
Allah's knowledge, will, and control is everywhere.
Now, let me tell you exactly what happened. At the time of the Mu'tasim Khalifa, where Mu'tasim Khalifa was in the Abbasi dynasty, was one of the, was the Khalifa in the what?
Abbasi
dynasty. Do you know how many, do you know the history of Islam? The history of Islam, we have 4 guided khalifas. Who are they? Who are these 4 guided khalifas? Abu Bakr,
Umar.
Then Uthman and Ali.
Uthman, Baker. It's no E after the K.
Why comma?
No, it works both ways.
That's correct grammar. After Uthman, you put a comma.
But no, it works both ways. Okay. That can be right too.
Okay. So 4 guided khalifas. What comes after guided khalifas? We get the Umayyah dynasty. So Umayyah dynasty, or the like sort of the kingdom of Umayyah. Okay, go ahead.
I thought the Umayyah dynasty was the same time as the Fatimid and the other one.
Yes.
Right?
No, the Abbasi dynasty comes after that.
So where's the Fatimid dynasty?
In the Abbasi dynasty. Abbasi dynasty. I'm talking about major now, remember. You know why they call it dynasty? Because it's very nasty. It is really very nasty. And then because it's like an empire. And then Uthmani. Dynasty. And then after that comes what?
Fatima?
Okay. No. This is in 1923, March 3rd, 1923, comes, you know, divided Muslim states, which is like now. Okay? And we're going. We're right here. You got it? So, if I would say, when is the point of the failure of the Muslim Ummah, what would be your answer? March 3rd, what?
1923.
This is when the Muslim Empire was divided into pieces. You know why it was divided into pieces?
Because of the
It was divided into pieces because the small pieces are easier to control. Small pieces are easier to control. So it was divided into pieces to control them, to control the Muslim nations. Okay? So the strong nations can control and bully the weak nations. Now, during the time of the Abbasi Khalifa dynasty, here, Muslims were very strong in in this period of time right here. Muslim empire was very strong. The Muslim empire was very strong. So the Greeks empire, the Greeks emperor, it's a very, very nice story, so pay attention. The Greeks emperor, what did he do? He was afraid from the Muslim Ummah taking over and threatening his nation. You got it? Mm-hmm. So what did he do? He did something very tricky and very vicious. He gathered his consultants and he told them, hey, the Muslims are growing and we want to create some problems for them so that they stop growing and taking over. So guess what his advisors say? His advisors said, we have books of philosophy. If we translate these books into Arabic and send them to the Khalifa, these books will never enter a nation without destroying it. You know Aristo, you know, what is the other guy?
Galileo.
Huh?
Galileo.
Galileo. And there's one guy who is a big philosopher.
Newton?
No.
Dude, this is coming to social
studies. Hmm?
The guy whose name is Aristo.
Euclid.
Da Vinci?
That's in Italy.
No.
I did Galileo for my project.
Socrates or Socrates?
Oh, there we go.
Socrates.
What is that?
Socrates is one of the philosophers during the Greeks Empire. I mean, during the Greeks people. He was, they asked him, where do we go after death? So guess what did he do? He stayed up in the nature, okay, outside of the city for 3 days thinking. And he would sleep at night, sleep in the morning, think at night when it's calm and quiet, trying to get an answer. Guess after 3 days of thinking, this genius philosopher came up with what answer? He said that Allah is too big to think about us. He created us and he left us alone and he walked away from us. You got it? You got it? So Allah was like kind of playing. So he made us, he created us, and then he walked away from us. And he doesn't care about us anymore. And his proof was that if Allah knows about these crimes, he should have not allowed them. So how do you reply to his argument? He said, Allah is absent. He just walked away from us. He doesn't care about us anymore. He doesn't, know about us anymore. Okay? And the evidence is, what's the evidence that he's saying? He's saying, crimes take place. And if he is aware of them, then he would have stopped them. Then he's not aware of these crimes. Go ahead.
We have
pretty good, right? So we decided to... Takbir. Huh, Lina? We have a free will, right?
No, it's something else, I think.
If Allah would stop criminals from doing crimes, then do we have a free will? Huh?
No.
Then how can we be, I mean, Allah's testing us, right? How can we be tested? How can Allah test us without giving us the choice of doing what? Bad criminal, bad stuff. You got it? You understand what I'm saying?
Test with only one answer.
Exactly, takbir. It's multiple choice test
with one answer.
Mashallah, takbir. Mashallah, you're smart. You got it? So that's the answer. You say, if I was there, I would say to him, duh. He allows crimes to happen, not because he's absent, but because he is giving us free will and he's not going to stop crimes himself. Otherwise, he's not going to stop people from doing wrong. Otherwise, there'll be no test. So this Socrates, you can see. Now, if you ask a Muslim kid, where are we going after death? What would be the answer? We're going to return to Allah, and he's going to judge us. Good people will go where? Jannah. Bad people will go where? Hellfire. Huh? This kid knows more than Socrates. Why? Because this kid has the light of guidance, which is coming from Quran. Knows the answer. Do you know that they made a conference, okay, a few years ago, like long time ago, they made a conference made of all people, made of representatives of all faith, all people from around the world, okay, to figure out if there is life after death or not. Guess what was the result of this conference? Huh?
No.
No. Or? No, that's not true. What's the other answer?
Yes.
Yes? No, that's not true.
Maybe?
Not true. They ended up more confused than they started. So, the result of this conference is that they became more confused than when they started the conference, after spending like thousands and thousands of dollars. Okay? Because that is the unseen world. You have to rely on the word of Allah describing it. So now, those wicked advisors told the emperor of the Greek Empire, translate these books into Arabic and send them where? To the Muslim Empire. And if you do that, they are going to destroy the minds of Muslims. They are going to destroy the minds of what?
Muslims.
This is what happened. So, you remember the elites? Elites, they have clowns to amuse them. The elites want to have a lot of fun. They have money and they want to enjoy their life. So they hire clowns to what? Entertain them. And I like to call them the clowns of the entertainment industry because of what they did. Later on, you will see what they did. Now, the clowns of the entertainment industry were running out of ideas to amuse the rich people and the elites and the king and the Khalifa. So they were running out of ideas. So when these books of philosophy arrived, guess what they said? They said, yes, we can use them to entertain the rich elites, right? Right? We can use them to entertain the rich elites. So they said, okay. They started reading philosophy and saying, if I wasn't I, then you wouldn't be you, and you wouldn't be you and I. These kind of philosophy that doesn't make sense. So they took, like, it's amusing, really. So they took this and they started using it to amuse the what?
Elite.
Yes, to amuse the rich elite. It was like TV today, like movies today. You got it? But that's how they used to amuse them. And then it became a success. It was very successful in entertaining the rich elites and powerful people. It was very successful. So they, and it was the top of the art. Like the if you know philosophy, then you are looked at as a person who's like smart and like have the latest technology and the latest top of the art, most advanced thoughts and ideas and educations and things like that. So now, after they became powerful, after the clowns of the entertainment industry became powerful, they decided to take philosophy into Islam. Mix philosophy into what?
Islam.
So now, they said, okay, let's re-explain the names of Allah using modern philosophy. Let's explain the what?
means of Allah.
Using the what? Modern philosophy. So they started taking the names of Allah and the Quran to reinterpret it. So they started with the Quran. And they say the Quran is not the word, spoken word of Allah. It is created by Allah. So let's go back here. What is the definition of Quran?
To say it out loud.
Definition of the Quran is the speech of Allah. Okay? They say no, Quran is not the speech of Allah, the speech of Allah that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad. They say Quran is the creation of Allah, not the speech of Allah. You got it? So now what happened, and they also went into the names of Allah. When Allah in the Quran says that I have a hand, Allah says in the Quran that I have a what?
Hand.
They say, no, Allah doesn't have a hand, but Allah has a, the hand of Allah means power. When the ayat of the Quran where Allah says that he has eyes, they said Allah doesn't have eyes. But when he say I have eyes, he means knowledge. He means knowledge. So Allah now doesn't have arms and he's blind or doesn't have eyes. And then when Allah says in the Quran that
he has
arms, you know what I'm saying? That he has ears, like he hears. That he has ears and he hears. They say, no, Allah doesn't have ears. When Allah says that he has ears, it means that he knows everything. So they started re-explaining the names of Allah this way. Now, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was the top authority of Islamic knowledge at that time. So he was like the biggest, like the Pope. You know the Pope?
Yeah.
He was like kind of like the Pope. Like nothing can be can go into Islam without his approval. And he was the top scholar at his time. So he stood up to them and he said, you guys are clowns. You stay away from Quran and from the names of Allah. Okay? And then he said, Allah has hands. Now, but these hands, we don't know what they look like. So we take it as is. When Allah says he has hands, then we say what? Yes, but we don't know how they look like. We just take the word as is. It's called the rule of as is. What's the rule of as is?
To take it as is.
To take it as is without thinking about the form. So when Allah says he has eyes, we say yes or no? We say yes, but we take this word as is. It means that we don't know how his eyes look like. You know Allah is not 2D, it's not 3D, it's not 4D, it's not 5D, it's infinite D. So you can't imagine what his eyes will look like, it doesn't matter what. So you say, he has eyes, yes. How does it look like? We don't know. It is whatever is appropriate for his majesty. He has arms, yes. How do they look like? We don't know. It is not appropriate. We don't know. Okay? Because you can't know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, hands. Now, the question is, you know the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad where he said Allah has two hands, both of them are right hands?
Really?
Yeah. So Allah doesn't have a left hand. Now, you think about it, now you think about like a guy with two hands from one side and have nothing from the other side. That is haram. We are not allowed to think about the form of Allah because he's infinite D's. 3D, 4D, no. Infinite D's. So you can't imagine this. Okay? So
why did Prophet Muhammad describe Allah if he wants to imagine?
Exactly. He said, don't think about Allah himself. Don't think about the form of Allah. Think about the creation of Allah. Because the creation of Allah, you can understand. But the Allah himself, nobody can understand. Or nobody can know what is everything about the form of Allah, because it's not appropriate for His Majesty. Do you understand? Now, what is the logic behind that?
If you're doodling, stop. I will kill you.
What is the logic behind that? If Allah is judging you in the day of judgment, if Allah is judging you in the day of what?
Judgment.
And He tells you, you said, I have hands. You said, I have hands, right? Say, yes, Ya Allah. Allah tells you, asks you, where did you get this from? Then you say, Ya Allah, from your book, from the Quran. Allah says, you are right. Why? Because you got it from where?
The Quran.
The Quran. But if you go to Allah and say, Allah says, you said that I have hands. You say, yes, Ya Allah. Now, who told you that my hands, and you also said that my hands mean power, but I don't have actual hands. Allah will bring you and say, you said that my hands are not actual hands, but they are just power. You said, yes, Ya Allah, I said that. Then Allah asks you, where did you get this from? What would be your answer?
You.
No answer. Because they dreamed up this explanation. They came up with this explanation from the books of philosophy. You got it? So this is how they ruined this is how they were trying to ruin the knowledge of Islam.
Are you talking about the meaning of Sunnah?
Yes, the names of Allah. We talked about how Allah does everything He wants, and then we went on from that. Now, here we go. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was on the top. Yeah. Here is Imam Ahmad. I need you to remember this name very well. When he died, 500,000 people walked in his funeral, behind his funeral, behind his body. 500,000 people. Because he was the top, he was very sincere and very righteous person. And he suffered a lot in this story that I'm telling you about. So he was, and if this is Islamic authority, so anything, any statement, any claims, yes?
What's the last letter?
Huh?
What's the last letter?
Here, Hanbal?
H-A-N-B-A-L.
I thought it was a B.
Okay. We just have 3 more minutes. So they told him, admit that Quran is the creation of Allah. So he said, da. Quran is the speech of Allah. They say, no, the creation of Allah. He said, no, it's the speech of Allah. And then they told him, admit that Allah doesn't have hands. His hands mean power. He said, no. Then they kept arguing with him. Then he asked them a very simple question. Very simple question. Learn it to find how smart is he. He asked them, he said, did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew about what you're saying? That a hand of Allah means power? They said, no. He said, then you idiots know something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't know? Then they said, sorry. Yes, he knew about it. Then he comes and he says, okay, he knew about it. Did he talk about it? They say what?
No.
No. Then he says, you idiots want to talk about something that the Prophet didn't talk about? You know, he didn't talk about it. Okay. Do you want to talk about something that the Prophet didn't talk about and didn't mention? Like, if he knew something without telling us, that would be that he did not deliver the message. Then they got mad at him, and they were so powerful. So they convinced the Khalifa to torture him and beat him up, whip him, put him in jail. They said, okay, what's their logic? Look at the sick logic. They said, we want to find out if he's sincere or not. We want to find out if he's what? Sincere or not. So if he's sincere, he will not give up. He will not give up his ideas, okay? Even if he's tortured. But if he's not, he's going to think about it and say, okay, these ideas are causing me to be humiliated and beaten up. And I am not saying the truth because I want to stay in power. So now I'm not getting power, I'm being humiliated. Then he changes his mind. So they kept beating him up and beating him up and beating him up, and he refused to admit it. At the very end, guess what happened? No. What happened is that the Khalifa, just like the people said, after seeing his torture and he's still insisting on what he's saying, he forgave him and he dismissed all the words, all the philosophy of those clowns of the entertainment industry. People say that two people, if they have not stood like men, this is the last statement. Two people in the history of Islam, if they not stood as men, the Islam that we have today would have been different. Would have been what?
Different.
Different than the Islam of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who are those two people?
Ahmad ibn
Hanbal.
And
Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Now, why Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, okay, stopped the changing of Islam? How? You know the story? You know when the people say, we're going to take Islam out of, we're going to take zakah out of Islam? He said, yeah, we'll do four pillars, but we'll not do the zakah. He said no, and he stood, he fought them until he made them admit that zakah is part of what? Islam. So those two people, write their names. Two people. What is Abu Bakr and Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And you're dismissed. All right.
Isn't that amazing?